Hangover. It's the Footy Wrap, football's round in review. And the early markets for next weekend with Adam White and Andrew Hughes.
Yes, welcome to the Footy Wrap on RSN 927, our social media as well. You're with Andrew Hughes, Adam White, of course, along as well. How are you, Adam?
I'm good, thank you, Andrew. Very interesting round of football, no doubt about that.
It was interesting, though, that who would have thought that, well, Geelong's a given. They're $1.01 a tab to win over the Gold Coast Suns. Who would have thought that theoretically now the eight itself is settled? The top four is not, but all this talk about it will come down to a number of games in the last round. It's quite ironically how it's just finished almost, well, the eight is set, not the positions.
Yeah, it was just the way that the weekend panned out. Obviously, it started with Richmond defeating Essendon on the Friday night, so that wiped Essendon out. Not that they were ever really going to be in the top eight, but mathematically they could have. Port Adelaide losing to Collingwood wasn't a good result, obviously, for Port Adelaide, but at least then Melbourne were pretty clear what they had to do on the Sunday. And then as you sort of work through some of the other results over the course of the weekend, the big one was the Giants-Sydney game when it came to top four ramifications, and that was a really gutsy win from Sydney. Geelong obviously did what it did, and improving its percentage the way it did just made Melbourne a little bit more nervous as well. But with the Demons getting the job done yesterday in really impressive circumstances, you're right, it sort of locks the eight away, but still plenty of intrigue going into the final round because of those top four spots and even just home finals. With the amount of non-Victorian teams that are floating around inside the eight, they are going to be really important games on the weekend just to see the makeup of the finals. And I think also the other thing, I was thinking this when I was coming into work this morning, just the different styled teams, when you think of maybe Hawthorn and Sydney trying to stop some of the more offensive teams play footy through September will be interesting. Then you've got the wild cards, the Giants and Melbourne with the way that they play, and then the experience of teams like Sydney and Geelong and to a lesser extent Hawthorn, because they're a very different team to the one that won the premiership or three premierships in a row a couple of years ago. It's just an interesting mix of top eight teams this year.
Well, let's run through the ladder position as a reason to talk about each side. Richmond are the $2.25 tab premiership favourites. They keep finding a way to win. Is that a slight cause for concern that eventually if you go to the well too often that you might not get home in a thriller?
I think it's a fair question. I don't think so is the answer. I mean, if you think of the game against Essendon on Friday night, they clearly had quite a few players that were rested from that team, really important players like certainly Cochin and Asprey. You know, Presti has got an injury. So I don't think there is any reason for concern. As Damien Hardwick said, they're clearly not playing their best football at the moment, but they are finding a way to win close games. And I think if you look back to the Geelong and Essendon game, both of those games got quite close, but Richmond were in control before the opposition made a late run at it and ultimately came up a little bit short. So I think there was an element of Richmond sort of putting the cue in the rack, thinking that they had the game won, and with a sort of an eye towards September. And I think they've been that way for quite some time. But the reality is they're now two games and percentage clear on top of the ladder. They can't do any more than what they've been doing, really, when you look at the overall season. They are clearly the best team. We've been talking about what odds Richmond should be, Andrew, for quite a while now, because it's so rare to see the Tigers so short. But we kind of felt that 6-4 quote was about a fair mark about 3 or 4 weeks ago. And as it stands now, with the Bulldogs in the last round, look, they're not going to, but they could rest half the team if they wanted to. They've locked up top spot. They're not moving from there.
Well, second are the West Coast Eagles. We heard some of the audio of Adam Simpson on the Breakfast Club on our sporting shows this morning saying that the aim of every side is top four, and then you go from there. Let's not kid ourselves. Given they are an interstate side, this second spot on the table is oh so important.
Yeah, it is, absolutely. And if you look at the situation now, you've got West Coast 60 points with a percentage of 120.8. And then in third spot, it's Collingwood 56 points with a percentage of 120.7. So as a result of that, Brisbane simply must win the game. West Coast simply must win the game against Brisbane on Sunday because, and the way it's worked out, it's quite good from an integrity point of view because Collingwood plays last. No, sorry. They play on the Saturday. So the way it looks, I thought they had the Sunday Twilight game. They don't. So as it stands at the moment, if Collingwood was to win against Fremantle and win by, it doesn't really matter. They really just have to win. But maybe they win by 4 goals just to be safe from a percentage perspective. Then West Coast knows on the Sunday that they have to beat Brisbane to have a home double chance final. So it's massive for the Eagles, because you'd imagine Collingwood would beat Fremantle, considering how poor Fremantle have been sort of in the back sort of 5 or 6 weeks of the season with the injuries they've had and some of their younger players getting tired, and Collingwood playing so well and so much to play for. I'm picking the Magpies to win by 4 goals, which would mean, yeah, West Coast would have to beat Brisbane. So I think that, look, circumstances were certainly in Melbourne's favour when they lost Jack Darling so early in the game, considering that, you know, he's such an important player for them. Josh Kennedy isn't in the team at the moment. We know about Andrew Gaff and Nick Natanui. The Eagles, I wouldn't say were there to be beaten, because they've still got some really good players in their team and the advantage of playing at home. But I reckon the Eagles would be a little bit nervous going up to Brisbane, because the Lions have scared more than a few teams at the Gabba this year.
Well, they're $2.75 outsiders, Brisbane. West Coast, $1.45. The line with those prices will be somewhere around 13, 14. I could see arguments for people backing both sides at those odds.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the thing with Brisbane, which will make them dangerous, is they've got absolutely nothing to lose. We know the way they play. They like to put speed in the game, really take the game on, try and hit 100 points. They'll do that for the entire match. West Coast have got to be on their best behaviour.
Well, Collingwood third on the AFL ladder, and they are the second TAB favourite for the premiership. So TAB have Collingwood $7 ahead of Sydney, West Coast and Hawthorn and the other sides in the eight. So they've had their ups and downs this year, but they're a short price favourite to close out with a win over Frio. So things are looking okay for the Magpies, Adam.
Well, things are looking okay with the way they're playing, but obviously their injuries, I still think, are going to hurt them when they get into a final series and have to repeatedly play against the other good teams in the competition. But, gee, they were impressive again on Saturday. You know, it was a real dour affair. It was tough. It wasn't necessarily pretty for three quarters. And then Collingwood just wore Port Adelaide down. And when the game was up for grabs in the last quarter, the Magpies just went into overdrive and played like a really good team, despite all those good players missing. That was a very professional performance from Collingwood. And I think it was one of their better performances of the year, because they did it ugly early and then broke the game open and played some really attractive football towards the end. A lot of their good players were actually down on form for the day. A lot of their prime movers through the midfield, but it was a real team effort. And as I said, I was really taken by how well they played.
It's RSN 927's Footy Wrap.
With Andrew Hughes, Adam White, looking back at the AFL on the weekend. Adam, Hawthorn are fourth on the ladder. I know you mentioned Collingwood's percentage is just shy of the Eagles. Well, Hawthorn's percentage too is just shy, even though, I suppose, the Magpies are a short price favourite to win this week. Hawthorn are an outsider, but Sydney's wins in recent weeks have been gutsy wins. They haven't been wins where a lot of people have expected them to thrash the team. So it is still an outside chance that Hawthorn could sneak into second if results go their way.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a point that has to be raised, because, you know, we expect Collingwood to win, as I said earlier, by, you know, 4 goals minimum against Fremantle. But the game is in Perth, and now we know the fixture a little bit better from our earlier conversation. The Hawthorn game is after the Collingwood Frio game, so at least the Hawks will know essentially what they have to do to try and get ahead of Collingwood. I thought Hawthorn missed a real opportunity on Saturday night. I thought Hawthorn would win that game against St Kilda by 10 goals. They were 3 goals up at quarter time. They lost concentration through the second quarter. St Kilda played well, but Hawthorn just, they didn't have that normal intensity about them. In the third quarter, they got out again by 4 goals, and it looked like they were going to break clear. Once again, they just lost their concentration and couldn't kick a goal in the last quarter. So I think they'll really rue that. They had a real opportunity to increase their percentage, which meant, Andrew, potentially all they would have had to have done was win on Saturday night against Sydney. That all being said, I'll be picking Sydney against Hawthorn on Saturday night.
$1.50 at TAB.
I won't be betting on them, though,
right,
$1.50. Right. I think it's almost flip of the coin sort of stuff between the two sides. That's historically how it's played out recently. If you look back for the last sort of, you know, 3-4 years, there's never really been too much between the two of them. But just think, in the end, Hawthorn do rely so much on three players in the midfield, O'Meara, Mitchell, and also Isaac Smith. And Sydney, with the way they're playing at the moment, look, they've had a bit of luck. They're getting injuries to key players of the opposition through games. We think back to Darcy Moore getting injured against Sydney, and Lance Franklin run a mark after that. And then even on Saturday night when Phil Davis went down at a crucial time, Franklin caught fire there. He was playing well, but he certainly caught fire after Davis went off him. So what I like about Sydney at the moment is a lot of their experienced players that have had average seasons are starting to play better and having a big influence on close games. That was the case again on Saturday night. Josh Kennedy had 18 disposals in the second half. Kieran Jack kicked a really important goal. Dan Hannery's playing better footy. That's making it a little less reliant on some of the younger players who are getting a little tired to be doing what they were doing through that middle phase of the year. So under enormous pressure, away from home, against a team that has troubled them, Sydney were too good for the Giants and gives them amazingly gives them a chance at top four. When I felt 4 weeks ago they weren't going to make the finals at all.
Well, the game against Collingwood, Melbourne, even this one on the weekend, theoretically they could have lost all of those games that they won. So are they dodging bullets or are they
now? I think
now?
They are. Okay. I think they are if they played at the MCG, I think they're going to be exposed. Now, I know they beat Melbourne only last week at the MCG, but I just think for leg speed against some of the other good teams, I just don't think they're quite good enough. But I thought they weren't going to make the 8 3 weeks ago. So they're a wild card for different reasons. I think they're going to be respected because of the experience they've got with that group of players. I mentioned some of them before. That's what, and they've done it before. They've won a premiership before. So I think they will be respected, but I don't think they're as good as two or three other teams in the competition come finals time.
Well, the Giants have made the eight, and no matter what happens this week against the Demons, they're there. Perhaps the most important thing for the Giants is not this week, but 2 weeks' time. With a week off, that's a fortnight to hopefully get some players back, because they are really starting to miss too many, aren't they?
Yeah, and they are. Along with Melbourne, they are the wild cards, because on their day, the Giants in Melbourne, I think,
they're back
can beat
out
anybody.
To $13. They've been a yo-yo at Tab. They've been second favourites. They've been
$13.
20. They're back out to $13.
Well, that's because now that game on the weekend meant that they couldn't make top four, so that's why they were clearly kept safe in the market. The problem for the Giants is their injuries, as you said, Andrew, and in a situation now going to that Melbourne game, it's to where they finish. It looks like now they're likely to finish in the bottom part of the final, so 7th or 8th, which means they're not going to get a home final. And I think under those circumstances, it's awfully difficult to see them win 4 consecutive finals away from home, considering the injuries they've got. The Bulldogs were able to do it a couple of years ago, but and they had some injury concerns as well, it must be said, but not to the extent that the Giants have got, because a lot of these players, they're not going to get back. So they'll get Josh Kelly back this week after missing the Sydney game with concussion. I think they'll get Zach Williams and Toby Green back for the finals. Zach Williams played in the NEFL last week, so he's missed all year, so it's hard to expect him to have a big impact on things. Heath Shaw, well, he's unlikely to be back before the end of the year. They lost Ryan Griffin to another hamstring injury on the weekend, so again, that experience, he knows what it's like to play and win finals. Delidio's on the cusp of being back for September. So they'll get some back, but a lot of them also have missed a lot of football. So, yeah, it's going to be difficult to see how they're going to be able to win 4 finals, which is what they're now going to have to do, because they missed the double chance and they're going to be on the road the whole way through. So I'll respect them, but I just think circumstances have meant that they're not going to be able to do it.
Well, what do you make of Melbourne? Some will say they've still underachieved when they had a chance to be entrenched almost in top four a month ago. But the bottom line is they're there now. That expectation off their shoulders, they're in the eight regardless. Does this mean a different approach? Does this mean they free will? Are they a real dangerous wild card?
Oh, absolutely they are. And we've said this all season, Andrew, that Melbourne were the dangerous team. You cashed out on your top eight bet with
yes.
Melbourne. But it was just a question of whether they could get there. And that was the hurdle that they had to overcome from a mental point of view. I think now that we know they're playing finals, I mean, look, they've got a lot to lose because if they're out, they're out. You know, you can't win a premiership. But I think they can freewheel a little bit. They're going to have to do it without Jake Lever and Jesse Hogan. So that's going to make it a lot harder for them. Jack Viney will be available for the final series, and he will go in and play off an extended break. I think they can do a lot of damage in the finals. You know, I think a lot of people want to question their validity and how good they are and all those sorts of things. But now they're there, there are going to be a lot of teams that are going to be very concerned about what they can do on any given day. And we saw that against West Coast yesterday. That was a high quality game. And Melbourne, away from home, were able to hit 100 points and play some really good football. So they're a dangerous team.
And Geelong, well, they're $1.01 to stay in the eight. That means they beat the Gold Coast Suns. And look, 23 unanswered goals. They turned it on. This is the Geelong that we look on paper, looks to be so talented. They're $13 a tab. Right now, they're a bigger price for the premiership than Melbourne, Hawthorn. They have to be a big show from bottom part of the eight.
So what are the odds on them?
$13. Look, I know I was on Melbourne all year, as we've mentioned just then. But I think Geelong, it's a little bit of an insult, the tab, to have Geelong $13 and Melbourne $11.
I still have Geelong in my top three premiership chances.
That's overs.
They've made it difficult for themselves with what has happened. The likelihood is that they will have a final at the MCG from a ranking of 7th or 8th in the first week. There's no team in that top 8 that Geelong will fear. Can they win 4 in a row? Well, history says over the season that that's potentially unlikely. But you look at the top 8 and you look at Geelong and the team that they've got and the capabilities they've got, there's no one there that they would fear. So going into a final series, Andrew, if there was one team I wanted to be on as the value option, it would be Geelong narrowly ahead of Melbourne, and then you can keep Richmond safe. I think they're the three for me, with Sydney and Hawthorn. They're the experienced two that I just don't think on their day will have enough to beat the three that I mentioned.
Well, so many amazing games coming up that will shape the first week of the finals in a fortnight. Adam, we look forward to hearing your thoughts on the Breakfast Club across the week and the Footy Late Mail. Thanks for having a chat to us in the Footy Wrap.
No problems, Andrew, anytime.
You can hear the Footy Wrap again on iTunes, on Facebook, and on the podcast page at rsn.net.au.